the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word, and you may be seated. Today we come to the third message in our series, Unlocking the Parables. If you're joining us for the first time, you should know that parables are short stories drawn from nature or daily life and designed to illuminate spiritual truth. It's important that we really understand parables because of about one-third of all of the teaching of Jesus are in parabolic form. In the gospel accounts, we find about 40 parables attributed to him, and some believe that there are even more, depending on how you define a parable. The parable of the persistent widow is one of only two that Jesus actually shared his reason for sharing it. Look again at verse 1. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable." Why? To show them that they should always pray and not give up. Let me ask you, have you ever felt like giving up? You've prayed for someone or about something for weeks, months, maybe years, or even decades without any visible sign of an answer. You know, it can be easy to give up. The message of this parable is, don't do it. Don't give up. In this parable, Jesus, the master storyteller, utilizes comparison and contrast. He does the same in a similar story over in Luke chapter 11, right after he shares the Lord's prayers with his disciples. The placing of this parable is also significant. In the previous chapter, he had just taught about the last days, again in chapter 17. And after he tells this particular story, he closes it with a question, a very sobering question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This parable is about facing trials with persistent prayer. It's about prayer becoming our primary resource. It's about living lives that are literally saturated with prayer. So I invite you to look with me at this parable today, and here I would like to share three lessons that we can learn about persistent prayer. The first is this: persistent prayer requires petition. The widow's persistent plea for justice is a powerful illustration of the role of petition in prayer. She constantly brought her request before the judge. She is undeterred by his initial refusal. She approaches him again and again. Now, here's some background information to sort of help you to fully appreciate this parable. At that time, widows and orphans were among the most vulnerable of all God's people. And both the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles insisted that they be cared for, but unfortunately, they were often neglected. We have a verse found in the last verse of chapter 1 of the little book of James where it says this: religion, let me just say, religion in and of itself is not a bad word. It's not a bad term. It is a biblical term. It will not save you, but if you are saved, you are going to be religious. And this is the way James defines it: religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In that time, it was virtually impossible for a widow, especially a poor widow, to get her case heard in court, let alone to receive justice. Now, at that time also, a court was not a fine building like it is today, but rather it was a tent that moved from place to place. And as the judge covered his circuit, the judge, not the law, set the agenda as he sat regally in the tent surrounded by his assistants. Anyone could watch the proceedings from the outside, but only those who had been approved could come inside the tent. This usually, and because there were these assistants, oftentimes these assistants were bribed in order to get their case before the judge. Now, at the very outset, I want you to know, and it's imperative that you understand, that the message of this parable is not that God is like the unjust judge. He is not. Rather, the central message of this parable is the persistence of the widow, and like her, we too should be persistent in prayer. Consider the contrast that we find here, about us and this particular widow. First of all, the widow is a stranger, but we are the children of God the Father, and He cares for His own. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, "If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" The widow had no access to the judge, but as sons and daughters of the living God, we have complete access into His presence. Ephesians 2:18, Paul writes, for through Him we have both access to the Father by one Spirit. Ephesians 3:12, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. The widow had no friend in the court to help her. She probably just walked around on the outside making a nuisance of herself. When she got sight of the judge, she would shout out her plea before him. But I want you to know that when we pray, we have an advocate in heaven. 1 John 2:1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The widow had no promise that she could claim. But we have God's Word, which is absolutely packed with promises. Paul describes it this way in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and through Him the Amen is spoken by the glory of God." Perhaps the greatest contrast of all is a widow came to a court of law. But as His children, we come not to a court of law, but we come to a throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find help in our time of need." Finally, the widow made her plea out of poverty, but we make our plea to a God that all of the riches of heaven are available to Him to meet our needs. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." You know, there are times that we present a petition or a request to the Lord and the answer comes immediately. We love those times. We're quick to testify about when prayer is answered immediately. However, more often than not, it comes later, sometimes much later. You know, there are many examples in the Bible of divine delays. I love the story about the prophet Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, and it comes right on the heels of his showdown with the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You may be familiar with the story. He meets with the false prophets of Baal. Ahab, the wicked king, is there. He calls fire down from heaven. It consumes the sacrifice. Every prayer that Elijah prays on Mount Carmel is answered just like that. Don't you just love it when that happens in your life? But listen to what followed. Listen to what followed. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 46. "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go eat and drink, for there is a sound of a heavy rain.' So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees." This guy was in good shape. How many guys can do that? Go and look toward the sea, he told a servant, and he went up and looked. There is nothing, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. This is, of course, to end the drought that he had pronounced upon Israel. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up the chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, a wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rose off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. You know, it's so easy to give up and not be persistent in prayer. Let me ask you, what is it? Who is it? What promise? What person? What situation have you stopped praying about? Maybe you need to underline these four words in verse 1. Do not give up. That's what this parable is about. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on having faith. A couple of verses to challenge us further in persistent prayer from Paul are found in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, where he says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Well, let's move on. The second lesson that we learn in this parable is that persistent prayer requires perseverance. I've already mentioned that. We're going to go a little deeper into that. You know, as we reflect on this parable, we find ourselves sort of fascinated to the persistent widow's tenacity. Her unyielding pursuit of justice is a testament to her perseverance. How often do we approach God with the same level of persistence and perseverance? How often do we refuse to give up, believing with unwavering faith that our pleas will be heard? The widow's story here is a powerful reminder of the importance of perseverance in prayer. Like her, despite our circumstances, we must be persistent in presenting our request to God. We must believe with unwavering faith that our prayers are going to be heard. We must not allow discouragement or doubt or delay to deter us from seeking His intervention. While the actual word perseverance is not found in this text, I want you to know it's written all over it. James chapter 1, verse 3 says that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let me tell you, there are few things that will test your faith like waiting upon the Lord. There are few things that will test your faith like waiting for the answer to your prayer to come. According to the next verse, James 1, 4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. While the context here is trials, perseverance can certainly be applied to prayer. Why is it that we so often experience delays when it comes to our petitions being answered? Warren Risby says, remember that God's delays are not delays of inactivity, but of preparation. Not delays of inactivity. It's not like God is not at work. It's not like God is not hearing your request, your petitions, your prayers. It's not about that at all, but it's about preparation. Why do we need to be prepared? Well, one of the reasons we need preparation to happen in our life is that we need to get ready for God to use a delivery system that we may not think God's going to use to answer our prayers. Oftentimes when we pray, we come with preconceived ideas of how God's going to answer our prayer, the means that He is going to use, the person He's going to use, the resource that He is going to use. So sometimes there needs to be a period of preparation for us to get ready for God to use the delivery system that He has chosen to answer our prayers, because sometimes we don't even recognize that our prayer is being answered. It doesn't always happen immediately. Sometimes it happens progressively. If you have a financial need, it may not be one event that's going to answer that. It may be a series of events that answers your prayer. In addition, sometimes, and I've already mentioned this, God has to get us ready to recognize the answer when it comes, because it may not look at all like what we expected. We're really big on telling God how. What we really need to do is just believe that God will. We don't have to tell God how to do it. We just need to believe that God will do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, we find the story of the Apostle Paul. Boy, it's a classic example of the answer to his prayer coming in a way that he did not expect at all. Listen to what he writes. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, the writer of Scripture, no doubt the greatest missionary that's ever lived. He said, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Look at verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. I believe that these were three distinct events, three times of intense prayer, three times of praying in absolute desperation, of pleading with the Lord. Three times I plead the Lord to take it away. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If you're living verse 10, let me know. Let me know. I need to hear your testimony. Let me read that for you again. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. You won't hear that from any television preachers. I can promise you that. But Paul, the answer came in a way he did not expect. I'm not going to remove it. I'm not going to take it away. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. We need to be prepared for God to answer prayers in ways that we would not necessarily expect that he would. Well, the widow's persistence, it paid off. There is a colorful Greek expression in verse 5. I really spent some time this week digging into this particular verse because I opened the various English translations and each one was really different. It was almost like the translators were struggling to try to find an English equivalent to a Greek word. Some did it better than others. Verse 5, I read it for you at the beginning of my message from the New International Version. It says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Now, was a judge really afraid of a widow coming and attacking her physically? When you read that's what you would think. The New Living Translation says, because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Probably the English Standard Version comes closest to the meaning of the Greek, so that she will not beat me down by her continually coming. Now, the Greek word used here literally means striking of the eye, giving a person a black eye, in the sense of wearing someone down with persistence. You've heard the expression, the squeaky wheel gets what? The oil. Well, you know, that really fits here. That translation would fit almost as good as the others do. Even though her cry seemed to accomplish nothing, something was happening. The judge's resistance was breaking down. And ultimately, she got justice. Let me tell you, when we pray, we don't have to overcome God's reluctance. We have to take hold of God's willingness. We have to take hold of what God knows is best for us. And sometimes that may be a delay as he develops perseverance within us. It may be preparing us for an answer that's going to come in a different way than what we thought. It may be getting us ready for a delivery system God's going to use that we had never thought of before. So our God is not like the unjust judge. As a matter of fact, Paul describes our God this way. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. We learn from this parable that persistent prayer requires petition. I believe that when we come to the Lord, we should come with specific requests. We should lay it out before the Lord. You know, sometimes when we pray for missionaries, we say, Lord, bless the missionaries. I think there's a more strategic way that we can pray for missionaries than, Lord, just bless the missionaries. When we have a personal need, we tend to be very specific about that. And I believe that we should be very specific in our petitions to the Lord. And persistent prayer also requires perseverance. But there's one final lesson I see in this parable of the persistent widow, and that is persistent prayer fuels faith. It fuels faith. You know, without faith, our prayers become empty words, our perseverance loses its purpose, and our spiritual growth is stunted. Persistent prayer, fueled by faith, is first fully surrendered to God. It means letting go of our own desires, aligning our will with God's will. It means trusting His wisdom, even when we don't understand. Also, we find that faith-filled praying is offered with expectancy. One Christian author describes it this way: Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. I hope Oswald Chambers wasn't as confused when he wrote it as when I read it. Faith-filled praying believes God hears prayer and that He will answer prayer in His perfect timing. This expectation is not wishful thinking, but it's based on the unshakable promises of God. I shared my message last week how my mother was a prodigal, during my growing up years. She'd been raised in the church but did not attend church except Christmas and Easter and dates such as that. That my dad really didn't know the Lord until just a few short years before he passed away. I had a sister who came to know the Lord in her late 40s and passed away at 51. I had a brother who came to know the Lord just about a year before he passed away. I think you were there later, but I was at Mercy Hospital in Springfield, Missouri, and the family was gathered there. He was a deaf mute, and they told us every organ is shutting down. The people from the Deaf Assemblies of God Church came and anointed him and prayed for him. The Lord raised him up. He gave his heart and life to Christ and made a great impact in just the year or so that he actually served the Lord. The funeral in Springfield, Missouri had more people than what we have here this morning. And all of them were deaf mutes who he had touched their lives. Well, I know that there were a lot of other people praying for them, but I was praying for them as well. And I wasn't just praying for a year or a week or a month. I was praying for decades, in some cases, that they would come to know the Lord. And as I look back, was there times I felt like giving up? Yes. Was there time I thought, I don't see anything. I don't see any small cloud coming off the, as small as a man. I don't even see that. But yet, continued to pray, and others in the family and friends continued to pray and saw them come to know the Lord. Persistent prayer fuels faith, is based not upon wishful thinking, but it's based upon the unshakable promises of God, even if we see nothing. Finally, persistent prayer that fuels faith seeks to possess a deep understanding of God's character. It's learning who God is. It's learning about His love, His mercy, His faithfulness, His power. It means trusting in His promises even when they seem impossible. Such faith is not acquired in a day, but rather is a lifelong process that involves studying His Word, experiencing His presence, and witnessing His work in our lives and the lives of others. In the final line of this parable, Jesus asks a question. Look at it. It ties back into the previous chapter. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The question is whether believers will remain faithful even at the trials that will come upon us and the world before the Lord's soon return. You know, if we're longing for his appearing, as Paul admonishes us to in 2 Timothy 4:8, our prayer lives are not going to be decreasing, but our prayer lives are going to be increasing. As we close this morning, I want you to remember that God is always listening. He is always listening. He hears our prayers. He knows our hearts. He loves us with an everlasting love. As David writes in Psalm 46:1, he is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And when it comes to prayer, let's be like the persistent widow, knowing that persistent prayer requires petition. It requires perseverance. And finally, persistent prayer fuels our faith. Let me challenge you not to give up. No matter what you are facing, don't give up. No matter what you are going through, don't give up. No matter what the circumstances, don't give up. Always pray. No matter how impossible, don't give up. Continue to pray. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Let's take the words of this parable, the words of Jesus, to heart.